Praise him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him.
The following program is brought to you by the New Hope Church of Christ, located on Edgewood Road in the Cross Key community, northwest of Athens, Alabama. Now, a message of praise from Minister Bob Watson.
In our message of praise this morning, we are going to be discussing the second coming of Christ. This is a wonderful event that's going to happen in the future, and there's been a lot of speculation about this event. It's a very, very important subject. Every Christian wants to know about this, and every one of us will be affected by this. And we certainly want to know what the Scriptures have to say in regards to the second coming of Christ. I'm starting over here in Acts chapter 1. That's Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. And I want you to just listen to a little bit of this passage. The Bible says, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." And so when we study the subject of the second coming of Christ, there are a number of points that the Bible definitely says these things are going to happen in the second coming of Christ. And I want us to be fully aware of what the Bible or what the Scriptures say in regards to this. The first point we can notice from this passage, what we've just read, that Jesus will come just like he went, in like manner. Remember, he was taken up into heaven. And so Jesus will come in the same fashion. When the Lord returns, he will come in the clouds. Over here in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and in verse 7, that's Revelation 1 and 7. Here you have Jesus. The Bible says in regards to him, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." Jesus is going to return in the clouds. And the Scriptures also indicate that one of the signs will be that of lightning. Over in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, and in verse 27, the Scripture says, "For the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." When is it going to be? Well, it's going to be unexpectedly. No one will really know exactly when. I'm still in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning in verse 37. Where Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Just like Noah, who was preparing the ark, they did not know exactly when the flood was going to come. That's the example that Jesus used to talk about his second coming. And we can see the unexpected nature of that coming, beginning of verse 42 of Matthew 24, and reading through the end of the chapter. We can see how unexpected it will be. The Bible says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is faithful and a wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we really could say that the message from that passage here in Matthew 24 is that every one of us needs to be ready and prepared, because it's going to be at an unexpected time. But furthermore, in the next chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, we see in regards to the second coming of Christ that Jesus is going to come in his glory. Listen to the way the scripture puts it, beginning in verse 31 of Matthew 25. It says, When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And furthermore, the Bible says that when the Lord returns, it's going to be with a shout and the sound of a trumpet. And we read about this over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verse 16, that's 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 16. Listen to what the scripture says. It says, For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And also over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51, here the Bible substantiates the same point. It says, Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption is put on incorruption and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. But there's another point, and it's a substantial point that we should make in regards to the second coming of Christ. And that is, flaming fire will be associated with that second coming. And we can ascertain this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, where the scripture reads, And to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's another point we want to make in regards to the second coming of Christ, and that is, it will be like a thief in the night. Just like the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 10, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now, we've made several points in regards to the second coming of Christ. That Jesus will return just like he went. He'll return in the clouds, and it will be like lightning unexpectedly. He will come in all his glory. What will precede his second coming is a shout and the sound of a trumpet. He'll come in flaming fire like a thief in the night. And you put all those passages together and you see what a beautiful picture it is of the Lord returning. And Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 28 reminds us, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many to those who eagerly wait for him. He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. We should be one of those that are eagerly waiting for him to appear. Now, I mentioned that a lot of times people want to speculate in regards to exactly when Jesus will come again. And many times throughout history, even the history of the United States, people have wanted to place a time period of when Jesus will return. Someone has even said that there is a person who has placed a time period in this very year. I've heard even October this year or even December of this year, the Lord will return. But I want to remind you of the passage we read earlier from Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 36. The Bible says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So when someone says, I know the exact time, the Bible says that day and hour, no one knows. And in the book of Mark chapter 13 and in verse 32, we have it repeated, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Many will say that it will happen within the short period of time. But I tell you, we don't know. It will be like the flood. We read that passage where they were waiting and they did not know when the flood was going to occur. And I can almost see Noah out there preparing for the span of about 100 years, wondering, is this rain, is it going to come? And Noah had no clue about this business of rain. Still, he prepared. He wanted to be prepared. And he prepared himself because God said that it was going to happen. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, the Bible reminds us, knowing this first, the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the word that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Oh, friends, we should not mistake the long-suffering and patience of God. We should not make that mistake to think, well, God's just not going to return, that there will not be a second coming. After all, everything seems to continue for as long as I've lived. It just seems to have gone exactly as it's always gone. We may conclude, pick out our age, how many years we have lived. We may say for X amount of years, whatever that age may be, that my life has just rolled along and I haven't seen any evidence of the returning of Christ. Oh, friends, don't make that mistake. One day is like 1,000 years to the Lord and 1,000 years as a day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. But that day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We don't know that day. It's going to be a day when we won't even suspect that today is the day that the Lord will return. But I want to point out a few other points in regards to the second coming of Christ. And that is, there's going to be some simultaneous events with the second coming. If you have your Bibles or just give a good ear, listen to what's written over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here the Word of God says, beginning in verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." What a beautiful passage of Scripture in regards to the second coming of Christ. It talks about those who have already passed, that they're going to rise first. And then those of us who remain, those who are alive, we will be caught up with the Lord in the air. And having this message of the second coming, realizing that Jesus will return, this should serve as a source of comfort for every child of God. Yes, those who are in the graves, those who are considered dead, yes, they will be resurrected. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 28. Our Lord said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." And what's going to happen over in 2 Peter chapter 3, we see that heaven and earth will be destroyed at that second coming. There'll be no use of those particular ideas after the second coming of Christ. Now just listen to what the Bible says and take God's word for the fact that this will occur. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. So the heavens will be gone, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The earth will be gone. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." And so we see the heavens as we know it and the earth as we know it will be gone. And someone may say, well, what about our heavenly home? Well, notice verse 13. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." In the end, Jesus is going to take the kingdom or the church and deliver it back to the Father. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 22, the Bible makes that point, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all should be made alive. For each one in his order, or in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. And so, in the end, the church or the kingdom will be returned back to God. And when the Lord comes again, there will be a final judgment of the human race. As Matthew chapter 25 points out, gives us a picture of that judgment. Listen to the way that it's described in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, and reading through the end of the chapter. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will come to those on the right hand. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." You know, that's an awesome picture of the final judgment. And I'm sure there are events in our life that we could look at and we could say, well, we either fit in this category or that category. But the point that I want to make is that preparation is now. Now is the time to get your life ready for the second coming of Christ. We read more about that second coming in the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, and starting in verse 12. And listen to what the Bible says in regards to it. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And when we read that, we want to make sure that our name is written in the good book of life, that we will have our heavenly home on that great and last day. You know, when we study the scripture, we see that the righteous will receive a blessing on that great and last day. Revelation 22 and verse 14, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." And also James said in regards to the righteous receiving a blessing, what he wrote over in James 1 and in verse 12, by inspiration he wrote, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And so it's a beautiful picture. But on the other hand, we have the wicked, and the wicked will not receive that blessing of eternal life. Rather, the wicked will receive eternal punishment, and that has to be a frightening thought. And we read just a portion of that over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 7. "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Could someone say that they know God because they have done religious deeds, but yet the Lord says that he doesn't know them? Sure, that can happen. Listen to Matthew 7 and begin with me in verse 21 or verse 20. Jesus said, "Therefore by their fruits you will know them, and not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So here is an individual, theoretically, who claims to have prophesied in the Lord's name, to cast out demons in the Lord's name, and to have done many wonderful works in the Lord's name. But yet the scripture says that Jesus will say, "I never knew you." And we see this picture then of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 24, where the scripture says in regards, "Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." And so it's incumbent upon us to get prepared now, to become a Christian, to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must repent of sin. Jesus told those in his day, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." To confess our faith in Jesus as the Son of God. With the heart one believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we need to be baptized into Christ. Peter told those individuals on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Friends, that's immersion, going completely underneath the water and to walk in newness of life. If you need assistance in any of these areas, let us know. We want you to be prepared for the second coming. This is our word of praise.
Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, King of heaven.
The New Hope Church of Christ meets for worship at 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays, and Bible studies on Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. We would love to have you join us. For more upcoming events, visit us at facebook.com/NewHopeCFC.